Rabbi said, good morning. We're going to try and explore some aspects of this week's Parsha, Parsha Vayishlach, particularly focusing on the story with Yaakov and the Ish. What happened, the fight, the change of name from Yaakov to Yisroel. What's it all about? What are the underlying issues that we don't actually read in the Chumash, but we have to extract? So the pasuk reads as follows: Vayivose Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov was left on his own. And the pasuk doesn't tell us the circumstances why suddenly was he on his own. He had a big am, a yachetas am. He divided his people. Suddenly he was on his own. And at that moment when he was on his own, Vayeovek ish imoy adaloi tashachar. A man, strange man, we don't know who or what or where he came from, but a man fought with him until the early hours of the morning. Till the rays of the sun. So what's shatim by Yivose Yaakov Levadoi? How did Yaakov come to be on his own? From this the Gemara learned that Mikan, that a Tam Kochum should never be on his own. But why was Yaakov on his own? So there's a Chiddush of Hort that says that as soon as you're Levadoi, then the Yitzhar comes to you. As long as you're together with the Tibur, you're part of a Kihilo, then you're on safe ground. But when you're Levadoi, then you're in trouble. But that's not pshat. What's pshat? What happened? What happened to Yaakov? So the Gemara says in Chulin, Rashi brings it, that Yaakov managed to bring across all the things to the other side of the river. Vayikochem vayavirem et hanochal vayavei eisa sheloi. Vayavei eisa sheloi means that all of Yaakov's possessions were taken to the other side of the river. So why was he left levadoi? So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Lozor, Shenishtayir al Pachim Ktanim. That there was still some small vessel, some small Pachim that remained behind, and Yaakov went back after all of the children and all of the. Whoever was with him was on the other side of the river, he went back for some Pachim Ktanim. There were still some small minor vessels that were left behind. And Yaakov didn't want to leave them behind, he wanted to take them with him. So he went back to those pachim ktanim. The Baal HaTosfos say that you shouldn't read levada, al tikri levadoi, elo lepachoi. Daf Tachmir, the Daf Kain says that levadoi means lebeis habad, the kelim that are used for the beis habad. How they take it from the pasuk is a question, but this is a kabbalah that Chazal had, that Yaakov Avinu went back for pachim ktanim. And the Gemara after this has a very strange statement. The Gemara says, Mikan. From here we learn a fact. Psychology about tzaddikim. You wouldn't know otherwise. You would think that a tzaddik is similar to yourself. He functions in the same manner as a human being does. So the Gemara says, "Mikan le tzaddikim shechavi v'aleihem mamainam yoyser migufam." Mikan. From here, we see that Yaakov put his life in danger. He remained levadoi. The Gemara is going to say later that Talmud Chacham shouldn't stay levadoi because there's a sakana, particularly for a Talmud Chacham there's a sakana, and Yaakov was aware of that. And nonetheless, he put his life in sakana for the Pachim Ktanim. So he put his life on the line to salvage some vessels. Zaray mikan that mamoinam is chaviv yoyse migufo. Rabbi say, my high, what's going on? Mamoinam chaviv aleihem yoyse migufo. How is that possible? Mamoinam chaviv aleihem in the first place is a problem. Why should mamoinam be chaviv? That's the source of all our troubles at the moment of Chaviv. Imagine if the Rebbeinu Shalom did a chesed to the entire universe for one day. He would take out of our minds the Chaviv of tomorrow. You wake up tomorrow morning and you don't want money. You don't want money. Have enough. I felt finished. I'm happy. You know how our lives would change? It would revolutionize our whole perspective. Our whole reality would change. We'd be in this magic. We'd be in the learning. We'd be looking after our true concerns. Spend time with your family. So, Mamayim the Gemara says that a Tam Chacham has to be Eiket any time you get on Mazeh in order to acquire Torah. Mamayim Chaviv Aleim in the first place is something we have to deal with. But Chaviv Aleim, Yoyse Migufa. Yoyse Migufa more than life. Nothing is more precious than life. You'll have to be Mati Latsmoy, the Mamayim Chaveira even. Talmud Chacham wouldn't touch a pruta that belongs to someone else, but in order to be matilas atmei, it's a mitzvah, the Rambam says. So what's Pshat? And the Gemara doesn't explain. The Gemara says, Mikan, Tamidi Chachamim, the Tzadikim. Shechavim alayim amayim yoyisir migufo. The Gemara says, V'kol kach lomo, l'fi she'ein poishtim yedeihem begezer. Why is the case? Because ein poishtim yedeihem begezer. Which means, Tamid is too... What's Pshat? What's Negev, Gezel, or not Gezel? The Pashas is that if you're not going to have your mamon, then you're going to the Talmud. If you're not a Talmud Chacham, if you're not a Tzadik, you'll find an answer. You'll find an answer to survive. But a Tzadik is not patient to be out of the ghetto. So he'll die. He won't have what to eat. But that doesn't make sense, because that's all the more reason. That's because the Chavivos of their group, of the Chaim, that's not Chavivos for mamon. There's another pshat. Maybe pshat could be that in patient yedei in the gezel, therefore they worked so hard to acquire their money be yosher that they don't want to give it up. But we're talking about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was a very wealthy man, right? He was a very wealthy man. Came from Lavan. He came with a lot of possessions. He was able to be Matthias Esav. That even Esav should be satisfied. Esav had a big appetite. So what are these Pachim Tanim? What is the significance of these Pachim Tanim? The truth is, in Pshat, in Pashtonim, you'll see Pshat. I mean, this Pshatim that I give him, Pshat, it doesn't mean Yosef Migufo Mamish. It means that if they have an option of having a minor danger, a minor harm to their body, and at the expense of Mamayinam, they wouldn't do it. Because the Gemara brings the Maitre to one Dame Roim, that he'd rather allow his skin to be harmed than covering the stores with a beged, in which case the beged would be ruined rather than his skin. So that would be Gufam versus Mamayinam. But the passage of the year is that Yaakov's life was put in danger to Pshutot. Yaakov was put into a Sakona. And also, what's Shat, Lefisha and Poishim Yedehem Begezel? If a person's life would be in Sakona, then he would have to be Poishit Yodam Begezel. L'chayra. No? Isn't that the din? Isn't that the din that if your life is in Sakona, that you're mutter l'hakilas atzmei v'momen chaveira? You're allowed to save your life at the expense of somebody else? If your finger is bleeding, and you're going to bleed to death, chas v'sholom, and you see somebody else's suit, cashmere suit worth 1,000 pounds, are you allowed to wrap that around your finger to save yourself? Avada ya? So shayla, whether you have to reimburse that person. That's a kasha. It's a shayla whether or not you do or don't. Depends. The din is best in that you do. So takana chachamim, that if you're saving someone else, then you wouldn't have to. Yeah, you wouldn't have to, because otherwise people wouldn't go out to save other people. But in al kofanim, you're allowed to do it. A person wouldn't have to face a sakana if he's able to save himself through gezel. Kol atayra kula is nitzchem yitzchem pikuach nefesh. There are no exceptions besides the Gemara Beis. So this is the question. What's pshat in Yaakov going back for Pachim Tanim? Now basically, you see a multi-millionaire and he bends down to pick up a penny. So it's one of two options. Either the guy's insane, right? Still a possibility. Money gets to your head, eventually it's going to make you insane. So that's one option. Another option is, maybe there's some inherent value in that penny that you don't appreciate. Maybe there's something there in that penny that you and I don't necessarily value enough. And the tzaddik, or this wealthy man, sees something in the penny that we don't. And the question is, what's that something? But before we attempt to answer this question, which we ended today, I'm going to quote from, I don't have it in front of me, I should have brought it, but I'm going to quote from the Kesef Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov gives a pshat that very beautifully answers this Gemara. But before we go there, there's a Gemara Masechta Sota. There's a Gemara Masechta Sota where the Gemara says, the Gemara asks the question, one member says that Mizabgin Leila Adam, they give a zibuk to a person with the Maithub. But then the Gemara says, "Aboy, you ain't cutting me to yourself, lad. They're machis lamaila. They say, bat plenty of plenty. Bat plenty of plenty means that even before this person had a chance to prove himself one way or another, and at that point in this person's history, nobody knows what he's going to do because he's given b'chira. Even the Rebbe Shalom, so to speak, doesn't get involved. He says, 'I'm leaving it entirely to you. You could choose one way or another. They ain't a sati lefanech ayem etachaim etamavet v'chay to v'chaim. You make the choice v'chaim. So a person prior to birth." We don't know what he's going to be. And nonetheless, at that point, it's already determined that Bach plainly looked plainly. So how can you say Slafim Isaac? So the answer is, Zivigishin Zivigshin. This is what everybody knows. it became part of the vernacular of even secular Jews. Basher, Shidduch is Basher. But the Gemara has a hemshich, which not many people know. The Gemara quotes the entire Chazal, which says, "Aboyim koydim tirat avla, der machriz bat pleini lepleini, bayis pleini lepleini, and sodah pleini lepleini." 40 days before the child is born, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam determines which house he's going to own. Might not give in which house he's going to own. Might not give in if he's going to live on number 12, Oakfield, or number 13. Tanaf Kimine. To the person, Tanaf Kimine, because 13 has another bathroom and 12 doesn't. Or 13, there's more potential for planning, development. Oh, but what's the difference? Might not give in which house, which suburb. And by extension, it's not only a house and a suburb, it's everything. If you go into a furniture shop and you choose this set over that set, and you think you're choosing it because your wife liked dark wood rather than light wood, the reality is that you chose this piece of furniture because that was meant for you. That was meant for you. Proof? You chose it. Proof? You now own it. If you have bias over something, it's not arbitrary, it's not random, it's not by accident. It's intentional. So much so that it's determined that buying young kaidin you see that's a blah. And the Gemara equates it with Zivugay Shalom, Bas Plenty Laplani, Bayis Plenty Plenty, Soda Plenty Plenty. Imagine if some feminist got a hold of this Gemara. Bas Plenty is equated with Soda Plenty. This is Reinach, what? Kicha Kicha. Yes. What's going on? It's a zivug, there's a relationship, there's an inherent bond. Fakir, we use this Gemara to emphasize how it's not just some arbitrary thing. You meet someone, you get together. No, it's plagufo. There's depth here. There's something beyond what we perceive, and that's why it's something you have to invest in, and it's something you have to be committed to. If it's based on your decision when you were 16 years old, so when you turn 18, you say, "I'm not interested anymore." That's what happens in the world. 50% divorce rate. He gets married, he has a lot of money, as soon as he goes bankrupt, so batla sibo, batla hamasubo. No longer of interest. The initial bond is no longer present, so why should we stick it through? From a Yiddish perspective, it's aboy and cutting tears of love. This is my zibug, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was the nominus. No matter how it happened, how it played itself out over here is not relevant. The fact that it eventually came to pass is in itself proof that it was meant to happen. But can the same be said with a soda or with a bayis? Could the same be said with a bayis or a soda? A bayis is so insignificant. We all know the story of the Chafetz Chaim, that somebody came to his house and he saw that he didn't have a floor, he didn't have walls, there's nothing there, he's living in a hut. Very, very, very primitive circumstances. So he said, Sapatnisht, ah, that's like you should be living. So the Chafetz Chaim asked him, where's your furniture, where's your house? He said, what do you mean? Come to life, where I live. You'll see my house. Now I'm on the way. Now I'm traveling. So same with me. I'm traveling. This is all temporary. This is not thinking. I'm on the way. In my life, I'm focusing on my destination, not on the journey. So the house is very insignificant. Certainly the field or other nechosim, and yet it's already determined that boy and yin kodim yitzir atzara. So Rabbi Yisrael, we have these two questions. You have the pachim tanim. Yaakov is interested in the Pakistani, and we have this Gemara in Soita Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that a person's house and a person's field is designated 40 days before the Yetzirah of the Vlad. Before the Yetzirah of the Vlad, there's a big commotion going on, because the Neshama is being selected, and we're telling the Neshama, you're going to go make a journey down to a very dangerous world. Okay, so at that point, we have to secure the Neshama with its whole profile, what it's going to have, it's not going to have. But you would think that the focus should be on the important things, not on things that are inherently secondary, inherently not of any value, really. Rabbi Yisrael, in Sefer Keter Shemtov, in Siman Reish Yud Ches, Shemtov puts down a Yesoid, which really was then expounded on by all the Talmidim, Talmidei Magid, and so on. In all this foreign, you go from the Toldos to the Magid, down to the Sfasemes, to the most contemporary form, this is a theme. This is a theme that the Baal Shem Tov expounded on, which is really based on the Arizal. So the Baal Shem Tov says like this. The Baal Shem Tov says that a person is given an avodah. A person is given a shlichus. A person is told that you have to live and be the best yid that you can be during your lifetime.
So we think that what are avoda? You open up a Shulchan Aruch, and we all have the same Shulchan Aruch. From Hilchas Hashkamas Habayker, we all have to wake up, give a kari, and all the way until the end. Right? The Shulchan Aruch deals with every single part of our life. So we all have the same avoda, it would seem. Says the Baal Shem Tov, it's not the case. And the Baal Shem Tov says that every person is given, at every moment in his life, particular, specific, handmade circumstances that person has to deal with at that very moment. So if it happens to be that you're stuck and you're waiting for the bus and you miss the bus and you have to wait another 5 minutes on the road down here, it's not just, okay, I'm 5 minutes late to my shiur. In these 5 minutes, the minute itself, that minute demands from us that we should utilize it in the right way. And particularly in these circumstances, these 60 seconds have to be spent in those weather and that condition waiting for that bus. And it's up to us to respond. Are we going to live up to what's expected from us under those particular circumstances? Says the Baal Shem Tov, it goes a step further. It's not only the environment you're in or the circumstances that you face. It's also true with what you possess. With what you possess. For example, a person is given a certain house. It's not because, he needed a house and he found one particular place to live in and this does the job. It suits his needs. There is something inherently there in that house. I'm avoiding the terms that are used in this one, but I'll quote them in a minute. That needs you, and only you can contribute what that house needs to be elevated to a level of kedusha. So if you're by a chasen and there's a big tray of chicken and you happen to select one piece of chicken and that chicken is digested into your system and it gives you chayus and it gives you energy and then you go out to daven ma'ariv. And the fact is that you're physically involved in that tefillah. What allows you to move is the fact that you had the nutrition that you just consumed. That chicken reached its purpose. That chicken was elevated. That piece of chicken was now nisbarir. It now serves its purpose. And, for reasons that we don't know, it was precisely that piece of chicken that was waiting for you to be mevarer that piece of chicken. And the same is true with your house, the same is true with your field, and the same is true with your parking tanin. The words of Hashem that uses mitzutzah is tiktusha. There's the potential for holiness in everything. Every moment can be turned into a holy experience. Every interaction with another human being can be turned into a holy experience. So you'll think, okay, I met so-and-so, what's the big deal? I'll do a different mitzvah. If you met so-and-so, and you didn't utilize that meeting for a positive purpose, either to impact him or to impact you or to somehow make you better, or somehow turn it into kedusha, then that moment was lost. That mitzvah of that transaction was failed. It wasn't elevated. You let it down. So the Gemara says, Tzadikim amayinim chaviv aleihem. Not chaviv aleihem because they want the money. Chaviv aleihem because this was given to me by the Eibishter. The Eibishter gave me this, which means that I now have to respond to it. And that's the Bayis Pleini Lepleini 40 days earlier. And the Sada Pleini Lepleini. The Gemara says that Rebbe Mechavid Ashirim. What's that? Rebbe Mechavid Ashirim, well, you think Rebbe had a big moisid and he had big bills, you have to cover them, so it's no brainer. But Rebbe was the biggest Oisha in town. Rebbe didn't need the Ashirim. Rebbe was more wealthy than all of them. They came to him for donation. They needed to invest, and they needed more, he would give them. But nonetheless, he gave cover to Ashirim. What's Pshat? Cover to Ashirim. Why? Because he happens to win the lotto, because he happens to be... Lo lechachamim lechem means that it's not attributed to any innate qualities that the Oisha has that made him into an Oisha. Rabbi Mechavad Ashirim, Rabbi wanted to convey to the Oisha that the Oisha has potential. The fact that he has more possessions means that he has more ability to be mevare, more nitzutzos of Kedusha. More Kedusha can be brought into this world. If you're limited in terms of your... You only have so much. So you only engage with so much mamay, so then you can only be mevare that amount of Kedusha. But if you're an Isha, you have so much more, then there's more potential. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, for some reason, chose this neshama to have more bias, more sadeh. So the Rebbeinu Shalom saw him more worthy. So Rebbe responds in court. He says, I also have to give him more credit. Whether he lives up to it is a second one. But at least the potential is there in this person more than in another person. So this is the first part of the story here with Yaakov and Amalek. We move on, and suddenly it says, "Vayimah shalcheni ki ola hashochar." Shalcheni ki ola hashochar, and being that the morning has come, I have to go. Why does he suddenly have to go? I don't know. We'll see in a minute. Yaakov said, "I'm not going to send you unless you give me a bracha," and then he gives him the bracha, and he tells him that the shini Hashem from Yaakov to Yisrael. So, ki Allah Ashokha Rashi says, v'tzorich ani lo yimah shiro bayoyim. I have to say shiro. And the Medrash says that all the years that this malach, all of the lifespan of this malach, whatever that means, in terms of a malach, the malach never said shiro. He was never summoned to say shiro. At this moment, suddenly he was called up to say shiro. Why suddenly at this moment? Why at this point? He's been a malach for so many years. We read about this. Finally, the chayitza kodesh. They say kodesh kodesh. This malach had to wait until this point when he fought with Yaakov, and he was overcome by Yaakov. Now he's summoned to say shir in the Shemayim. So it says that Avnei Nezer says that a malach says shir when he finishes his avodah, when he completes his mission. That's when he comes and says shir. Esav's mission was to oppose Yaakov. At this point in history, at that very moment, when Yaakov came out victorious, this malach was finished. It was now clear that it's not just we're finishing one round of the struggle. At that moment, the malach was incapacitated. He was made impotent. There's no way he can ever oppose Yaakov. Yaakov was victorious b'shleimus to the extent that it was confirmed that the side of Esav can't fight him anymore. So his shlichus is over. So at that moment, he has to come and say shiur. Okay. At that moment, he has to come and say shiro. But Yaakov says, if you want to go say shiro, you have to give me a bracha. And he gave him a bracha, and he told him, Lo Yaakov yomer chimcho ki in Yisrael. Kisarisa im elokim v'anoshim v'atucham. Yisrael is the new name, the new identity. So what's pshat in this new name? Why was Yaakov interested in hearing this? And why was Yaakov satisfied with this? And what's the significance of it? So we all know the Gemara in Brachos. So the Gemara says that Akoyda la Avraham, Avraham is Oyver on the Esa, Oyver on the Lav, depending, right? But if you call Yaakov, if you call Yisrael Yaakov, then you're not Oyver. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara asks why? Because we see that the Baal himself refers to Yaakov, to Yisrael as Yaakov. Tony by Kapora, call Akoyda la Avraham, Avraham Oyver da Esa. Shenemar v'hoya shimcha Avraham. Rebbe Lezer eimer oive b'lav. Shenemar v'lo yikari oive shimcha Avraham. Elo me'ato. Hakoyre le'yakoy. Should also be the same. So the Gemara says no, because Rebbe Yishalim himself refers to Yaakov to Yisrael as Yaakov. Okay. So the question is, so we see from the Gemara, the Gemara tells us how we know that with regard to Avraham, if you refer to him as Avram, you're Oyver on Allah. With regard to Yaakov, if you refer to him as Yaakov, it's okay. That's how we know it. We know it because we see it in the Pesukim. The Baal Shem himself says, Lo Yikare Shimcha Oy Yaakov. But nonetheless, he then goes back. But the question is, how good for what? What's the difference between Avram and Avraham and Yaakov and Yisrael? We're not doing this time of the crow. You can say it's a din, it's a halacha. But there's a significance here, there's a meaning. Yaakov and Yisrael respond to different things, and so does Avraham and Abraham. So I want to share with you what the Erechaim says. The Erechaim says in this week's parsha. The Erechaim says, Rabbi Zai. Almost the same thing appears in the Gemara and Brachis in the Chiddush HaGadol Marsha. The Erechaim says like this. Avram and Abraham is a shinui from one mazel to another mazel. From one mazel to another mazel. Like the Pasuk says, V'yoyse oyse achutza. So Rashi says, why did you take him out of achutza? And he showed him the question of Shemayim, and he says, Koyi yezaracha. So Rashi says, the practice is, he took him outside because he can't see the stars when he's standing in the building. That's the Pashtus. But the Agadah says Rashi is not that he took him to show him the stars. He could have told him, imagine the stars, look out the window and see the stars. Rashi says, you saw that Avram is not able to be Moimit. So the Baishan tells him, you're right. Avram cannot be Moimit. Avraham could be Moimit. So it's a new model. Incidentally, both Sarai and Avram were there was a hay that was added into the word. A hay. The Kabbalah is known that a hay has what? Yes, the childbirth. You'll notice, I don't know if this is correct, maybe this is totally wrong. Don't quote me on this. But I sometimes see Spanish and Yidden. What? Okay, yes. Yeah, they have next to the little hay. And that's a little hay. But also they have what they call a hamsa, which is a hand on five letters. And what's the market for that? I don't know. But maybe it's the hay. The Avraham gave a koyach ha'elada. The Sarah gave a koyach ha'elada. Okay. So this is what the Rechaim says. Avram to Avraham is a shinui of mazel. Yaakov and Yisrael is not going from one mazel to another mazel. It's going from one madrega to another madrega. Two madregas. So therefore the Rechaim says, just because you have a higher madrega, you can't make reference to the lower madrega. What? Yeah, well, why can't you, there's nothing wrong with mentioning Yaakov. Avram is inherently flawed. There's something lacking there. There's something wrong. It's like giving a person a klala. You're saying something negative about the person. And this person is now Avraham. But Yaakov versus Yisrael are two madregas. So what's wrong with mentioning the lower madregas? Somebody's a very big Talmud Chacham. So he knows Babi and Yerushalma. And you mentioned that he knows Chumash. It's also true. He knows Chumash. It's not Avotel Chumash. So yeah, it's not his home island. It's not the entire truth. But it's true. So the question is, what are these two madrigas? And most importantly, what do they mean to us? Because we know that Kal Yisrael is referred to as Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Matzeidu Elecha Yaakov Mishkinisach Yisrael. We're known as Bnei Yisrael and also Bnei Yaakov. So I want to share with you, and we'll finish with this. A beautiful verse that is from the Kuditzayt of the Arizal. He says like this. He says that Yaakov Avinu wasn't just an individual person. Yaakov Avinu was the father of Kal Yisrael. That was one of the others. Any experience that Yaakov Avinu had was a means of then passing that off all future days. When Yaakov attained the level of Yisrael, every Yid attained the level of Yisrael. And when the Torah says and the Gemara says that notwithstanding the fact that you reached the level of Yisrael, you mustn't forsake Yaakov, or you should still maintain the word Yaakov. The Rechaim calls it, the Pasuk says, the Rechaim says to Yaakov, Shimcha Yaakov, V'lo Yikari Oy Yaakov. Why does that say Shimcha Yaakov? Is an idea that the name Yaakov still has significance even after the name Yisrael was added. Says the Arizal, says like this. He says Yisrael was this level that Yaakov attained when there was no longer a Yetzirah. There was no longer a Yetzirah. Malach is going back to say Shira, now it's only him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says that from that moment and on, it was given to Klal Yisrael that every single Yid could have moments in his life, experiences, where there is no Yetzirah. Where you feel a natural gravitation towards what's right and what's meant to be, maybe on Yom Kippur, maybe Rosh Hashanah. There are moments in a person's life when a person feels that his oyer is some atama that's given me lamailo. It's not something that came as a result of your effort or your input or your investment. You didn't have to struggle with obstacles or difficulties. It just came naturally. At that moment, says the Arizal, don't forget Yaakov. Don't forget the lowest level. Don't forget that there will be a moment when it's not going to be like that. There will be a moment when you'll feel alien, when you'll feel a lack of interest, uninspired, unmotivated. Utilize that moment as a means of giving inspiration to the Yaakov. The Hizal says that the word Yisrael is lead reish, the highest level of a person. Yaakov has the atheist Akev, use Akev, it's the lowest level of a person. Use the moments of inspiration that we are given as a matana from our others, Avraham Yitzchak, and particularly Yaakov in this week's Parsha. The fact that we have the koyach of Yisrael, use that as the means of giving you inspiration. Remember it. Say to yourself, now I'm inspired, but what am I going to be like tomorrow? I don't want to just get carried away in the experience of the moment. I want to use this moment as something I can turn back to, even as a distant memory, to give me the motivation and the drive to withstand, even when I'm in the state of Yaakov. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, if anything should help, that we should have the real, real victory of Yisrael and Yaakov over the story of Esau for all Klal Yisrael and each of us individually in our own lives, with the Geula Hashleima B'Meira. Amen.